And so we fear that when bad things happen to us, it's because they're not Christians. So we try to justify everything as being actually a good thing so that we can feel like we are indeed Christian because this thing is actually good.
I'm Wyatt Martin, and you're listening to First Look, Alderwood Community Church's podcast, where we take a look a week ahead at what's coming up for our church. And we've got a great conversation for you today with Ethan Garr, who is an ASM leader and a longtime Alderwood guy that I've gotten to know and has become a good friend of mine. I'm excited to have you listen to our conversation in Romans 8, verses 28 to 30, and this famous verse, Romans 8, 28, that God works for the good of those who are called according to his purposes, who love him. And we have a really good conversation about what that means and what it doesn't mean, and I'm excited for you to hear it. So let's jump in. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us on First Look.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Really excited about our conversation today. We're in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30, one of the most famous passages, really, in all of the Bible. And before we jump into that, why don't you let people know how you're connected to Alderwood?
So I started coming to Alderwood in 2009, about with my family. Grew up through the ASM program, and I'm back there now as a leader.
Yeah. How old were you in 2009 when you came?
I would have been 12 years old. And I am 23 now, so okay. Almost half of my life there. I'm also involved with a young adults life group with Ross McDermott and some other...
The Whippersnappers.
Yes, or a new name we've liked is the YAG, the Young Adult Autonomous Group.
Nice. Okay, good. And yeah, you're serving in ASM as a leader, like you said. What group of guys are you with right now?
I'm with a group of sophomore boys. They were a particularly rambunctious group, but they've really seen huge progress in the last year. It's so encouraging to hear them talk about the word and watch them grow.
I love that. One of the most encouraging things for me being in ASM for a number of years is seeing students who were discipled by faithful Alderwood people graduate and become people who are discipling students. I think it's one of the coolest things to witness, and that's exactly what you're doing, which is awesome. Hey, let's jump into this passage. We've been in the book of Romans. We've called this series Good News because Paul is unpacking all the ways that the gospel is good news for us, and he's been talking about the way that apart from the Spirit, we're slaves to sin, and sin just always wins. And with the Spirit, the way that we can be set free to be free from sin, to walk with God, to be a new creation, all of that. And then he's just looked forward right before this passage to say, even all of creation is longing for this moment when God will finally make everything right again, when he will finally make all things new. And then we get to Romans 8, 28 to 30. And Ethan, I'm going to have you read this whole section for us. There's three verses. And as always, we got a link to this passage in the show notes if you want to go there yourself and read along with us. But Ethan, why don't you read this section for us as we jump in?
And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, so a couple things jump off the page right away for me in this section. One is that word predestined gets used twice, and we might circle back to that at some point. But before we get there, verse 28 is just one of those passages that many, many Christians memorize, that they cling to, they put on their wall. It's the background of their computer screen or whatever. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And Ethan, as you think about that, what do you think most people think that that verse means? How do you see that get used out in the world among Christians and people who are reading that verse?
I think that Christians have a tendency to hear the word good and we apply it to our own personal life plan for ourselves, what we think is going to be good for us. And we think, that God is going to work all things so that we might have what we want.
Yep.
And that can look like an athlete who thinks that, you know, my failures on the football field will one day lead to me being a Super Bowl champion with a multi-million dollar contract, or, you know, somebody who thinks that, you know, this F that I got on my test is going to somehow lead to me becoming, you know, the best doctor in the world.
Yes. Somehow God is going to use that to give you more than you ever could have imagined.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and sometimes it's just silly things. I hear people quote this verse. I mean, say like they drive to the mall and the parking lot's a mess, which this is all pre-COVID, you know, and they have to park way far away. They're frustrated because they're late. They're meeting somebody and whatever. But then they park way far away from the mall. And as they're walking, you know, to the entrance, they find $20 on the ground. And they're like, yes, in all things, God works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, I thought it was a bad thing, but really God was blessing me with this $20 that I found.
It's a weird coping mechanism that we use, or a way that we give ourselves a weird hope. Like, I think that, you know, we even hope for these like bad things to happen, but that have like these Hollywood endings. Like we would crash into someone, but turns out they're like the owner of a business who has an opening for the job that we so desperately want. And somehow like this bad thing of getting our car totaled will lead to the picturesque job.
Yes. And let's just be clear for a second. I mean, that stuff happens.
It does.
You know, God is a gracious, good God who's generous, who gives good things. He loves giving good things to his children. And so maybe God will do something like that in your life. It's not that he doesn't, but what do you see as maybe one of the problems of thinking that that's what this verse means, is that he takes the bad things in your life and kind of gives you earthly blessings through those bad things?
Well, we miss out on the real meaning of the verse, which is something that is so much greater. It's that God works all things to make us more like his son. That the real thing that we gain is sanctification, and that our character would become more like Jesus, which is something that is far more valuable than any job or any multi-million dollar contract might yeah. offer us.
And you're not just, that's not your opinion. I mean, you're taking that straight from verse 29, right? So as Paul goes on to explain what he means in 28, he says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So in all things, God promises to work out his purposes to make you more like Jesus, to experience more of the life and the spirit that he has for you. And that is an awesome promise, but very different from he gives you all the good things you want now through the bad things that happen to you.
Almost the exact opposite.
At times it is. Yeah. I mean, I see, like, when we ask about the problems of that first reading of 28, you know, one of them in my mind is just that it just isn't true. I think it's one of the luxuries of living in a first world, wealthy nation that we can believe, even though it's wrong, that everything works out all the time. You know?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I think Christians who live in a poor country where they've seen, you know, countless followers of Jesus starve to death, or, you know, whatever the case may be, like, I think they're not as easy to make that mistake as we are, that following Jesus means that God makes everything work out in your life all the time.
That's a very good point. And I think that we get caught up in the luxury of life and we take a lot of things for granted. And that is a weakness of ours in a way.
There's another misreading in this verse that I see get used sometimes, or at least a misapplication, which is that verse 28 says, this is the misreading, that because of God, all things are good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it's like if something bad happens to you and somebody's saying like this tragedy happened or, you know, whatever, that like the Christian response is to say, well, look, when you see what God does with it, you'll be grateful for it. You'll know that this was really a good thing. And once again, like if you live a pretty good life, maybe you can believe that. But as soon as somebody has a real tragedy, like as soon as somebody's child dies, as soon as, you know, somebody experiences some kind of abuse or something like that, then suddenly that kind of view of like, well, actually, you're going to be thankful for this. Like, this was a good thing that God did for you almost, you know? And so this isn't saying all things are good. It's saying that in all things, God works for good. Even in the bad things, God is working for your good.
Yeah. And I think that's it's a weakness of kind of American Christianity per se, that we don't have a lot of space for lament in our worldview. We don't really know how to wrestle with the things that we perceive to be bad.
It almost feels unchristian to us.
Yeah. It's like Job, where, you know, his friends say, you know, if something as bad is happening to you, then you must not be that great of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so we fear that when bad things happen to us, it's because they're not Christian. So we try to justify everything as being actually a good thing so that we can feel like we are indeed Christian because this thing is actually good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I almost wonder if we've forgotten how to share each other's burdens in this kind of way, you know, where it seems to me almost like kind of the social media world that we live in, where the expectation is that you're kind of posting all the good things going on in your life and you're showing the best side of what's going on, where that kind of seeps into even our Christian relationships, where like if somebody asks you how you're doing, you kind of have this expectation that you're supposed to say that everything's good, even when it's not. And we've forgotten that following Jesus together means being able to share our sufferings, being able to share the bad, and being able to pray with somebody and share that burden with them. And that's actually that's a good thing about what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, it's very hard to get yourself into a position where you're surrounded by people that you're comfortable with sharing those tough things with, and surrounding yourself with people who know how to respond to that in the right way and not just then tell you, oh, no, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. But have people who will say, yes, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough, buddy.
Yeah.
But, you know, God works through all good things to conform you to Jesus.
Yeah. He's going to use this. Nothing's going to be wasted. I think is part of how I read 28 is like,
yeah,
there's nothing in your life that God isn't going to use in some way to continue to make you to be more like Jesus. Ethan, what's something in your life that is relevant to this verse? What's something that has gone on that maybe doesn't seem like a good thing, but that you have to have faith that God is going to work for good in it?
I think the most pertinent one right now is that I'm still applying to medical school. It's something that I've sought after for a long time, but that God has said not yet to.
Yeah, so tell people kind of your vision for your life as you were graduating high school and off into the world.
Yeah, after high school, I went to college, and I was thinking, like, I'm going to get into medical school right out of college, and I'm going to go become a world-renowned surgeon of some sort. And I think that I really envisioned
not
that,
just any surgeon, a world-renowned surgeon.
World-renowned, yeah. I was going to be the guy I was going to be like Doctor Strange, the guy you go to when all hope is lost.
Yes.
But I think most importantly, I just really thought that things were going to be smooth. I thought that I was going to be blessed with earthly success in everything that I did. And that's not been the case. I wouldn't say that I haven't been, you know, blessed with various successes, but I'm not in medical school yet.
So three rounds of applications to medical school. So far, you haven't gotten accepted.
Yeah.
And you probably had a lot of reason to expect that things were going to be easy. Not easy. Easy is not the right word, but smooth. I mean, it's not just because you're a Christian and you thought God was going to bless you, but like you've had a lot of success in your life. I mean, you're a smart guy. You have good grades. Like, I think there's a lot of reason to expect that the plan that you had laid out was a reasonable plan, you know?
I appreciate that you think that.
Yeah.
I had reason to believe that there would be some success in my future. And
you still do, by the way.
I still do. Yeah. I still do have hope. I maybe have more hope now than before, because when I look back at all of my failures, I see how those led to God bringing me closer towards Him. One of those ways is that I needed to reevaluate why I wanted to do what I wanted to do. There's a big issue amongst doctors that, you know, doctors like to play God. They like to be the top of the ladder. They like to be this irrefutable authority on all things medical. And it's something that can easily turn into an idol, you know, the status and position of being a doctor. And so that's something that I had to look at in myself and evaluate, you know, how much am I idolizing this potential career? And the answer was a decent amount.
Yeah.
And I think that God was able to show me through the failures that, you know, he would not allow me to become a physician if I was going to think that way. He still might not, but mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, through those rejections that I have found God in my workplace satisfaction.
Yeah. Did you have a hard time? Do you still have a hard time wondering why God has done that? Why he has allowed you to be rejected three times and still not know what the future holds? And has that been a hard thing for you?
Sometimes I wish he could have taught me the lesson sooner, that I might, you know, be a couple years younger and, you know, be further along in my path now than I currently am. But at the same time, he's also blessed me in pretty clear earthly ways. I wouldn't have the wonderful relationship that I have today with my girlfriend Summer. And so I think that timing is another one of those things that we try to put our hands on too much, is that, you know, we want things to happen when we want them to happen. And if God chose to take this long to teach me, then he knows.
Yeah. I feel like it's so tough to hold the promise of verse 28 that God is working for good through even a hard thing like this, and to be satisfied with it, to be satisfied that God is making you more like Jesus through the season of difficulty and rejection that you've been in with applications, and not to go beyond it to the kind of the false version of this verse that we've been reading, which is that, okay, I know God is going to make this work out because I'm a Christian, because he loves me. I know that he is going to get me into med school at a great school, and I'm still going to be successful. Like, it's hard, I think, as followers of Jesus to accept that we don't know that. We don't know that things are going to work out in this world. That is not a promise. God doesn't give you that. He gives you the promise that even if they don't, he's going to work in your life. I mean, do you find that hard to be satisfied with that?
Absolutely. And I think that part of that comes from coming from a culture where being able to provide for your offspring and your grandchildren and so on and so forth is really important. The idea that, you know, that you don't kind of cash out on your parents' success. And that's really hard to reconcile, this idea of I want to be successful enough to provide for future generations and also trusting in God to provide for future generations and for myself, where I could feel comfortable saying that, you know, even if I am not successful financially on my own, as long as I am growing closer to God, that's a success. Yeah. And it's hard to say that because we do not value that spiritual growth very well. We can't put a number value on that. And so we really have a hard time saying, oh, that's worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really true. We only have a few minutes left. We got to talk about predestination a little bit. I mean, it's in here twice. We can't just ignore it. We read 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Ethan, when you hear the word predestined or predestination, like, What are the things that pop in your head? What does that mean to you when you hear that word or you read it in a verse like this?
I think the one that pops into my head the most is in the context of evangelism. The idea that if God has chosen certain people, then what am I doing when I share the gospel?
Yes.
Am I sharing the gospel because I think that it might change God's mind on who might get in? Or am I just searching to share the gospel with the people that God has already chosen? Yeah.
So let's drill in even more on like how you're using predestination in that. So that's an idea of predestination that before anything has happened in the universe, before anyone's born or created or anything, before even the earth existed, God had already predetermined who he would save and who he would not. And those he predestined to save, it's a predetermined thing. It doesn't have anything to do with your faith or your, you know, following Jesus or anything like that. It just, God picked you. And because God picked you, he gave you faith and called you and justified you and all that kind of stuff. And at least for me, that was always kind of a classic debate. Do you believe that that is true or do you not believe that is true?
It's a huge hot topic in ASM.
Yes, always is for years and years and years. In every church, really, I feel like this is one of the classic debates. You know, if you hear people use terms like Calvinism, this is what they're talking about typically. And so what you're bringing out is that if you believe that it is true that everyone who's going to be saved is predestined before the beginning of time and that it's a done deal before we've even been born, then your question is like, then yeah, what is going on in evangelism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it important that I share the gospel with somebody if God already figured this out a long time ago?
Right.
Right.
If that person sat in a broom closet for their whole life, would God find a way to save them?
Yes, totally. A great question. Interesting philosophical one. Anytime the question is, would God figure out a way? My answer is always yes. but here's what I would ask. Is that actually what this verse is saying? We're not going to solve the predestination debate today, but I do think it's important that we don't become people who like bring in our own argument to a verse and make it answer a question that it's not answering, which I feel like people are tempted to do here. And so when we think about what the Bible says about predestination, that's the other thing I'd say is like the classic question or the ASM debate is, do you believe in predestination? Have you heard somebody say that?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a dumb question. Everybody has to believe in predestination. Look at verse 28, 29. I mean, it's in the Bible.
Yes.
Predestination is real, right?
God does it for sure.
Okay. 100% everybody has to believe in predestination. The question is, what does it mean? And specifically, what is God predestining? What is he predetermining? And this verse clearly says that those whom God foreknows, he also predestines to be conformed to the image of his son. So at least at face value, what 29 is saying is that if you're a follower of Jesus, God has known that forever. And he promises, he has predestined that he will complete the work that he started in you. He will make you like Jesus. To me, like that's what 29 is saying. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I agree with that. God has promised everywhere in Scripture that Christians will be sanctified. If you're being sanctified, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're being sanctified. It's one and the same. And that's all he's saying here, that those who are Christians that he foreknew, he will make you like Jesus.
And I love that promise, man. I mean, I think especially on a day when you have been struggling with sin, a day when you're, you know, really struggling just with maybe yourself and you're disappointed in yourself and you're mad about the fact that you are weak and you're not following Jesus the way that you want to. I love the promise that is saying that God is saying here, he's going to complete the work that he started in you. He's not going to leave it undone. Sin does not have a chance of winning anymore. It's over. The battle's over. God's going to do it. And sometimes I feel like we miss some of these awesome truths of Scripture when we're so quick to just jump to a debate about theology or whatever.
Yeah.
and not just read it for what it says, you know?
Yeah. And we as Christians are so prone to saying, oh, I believe God will work out good in my earthly life, when and we have so much uncertainty about God working in our spiritual life, when the exact opposite is true, that we can have absolute certainty that we will become more like Jesus, but there's really no guarantee of any kind of earthly success.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ethan, it's been a fun conversation, man, and we do have to come to an end here. We're going to study this passage, and we're going to preach on it this Sunday as we worship together. As somebody comes and hears the sermon, worships with us, what is just one thing that you hope somebody might walk away with from this text?
I hope that after hearing this, that we would reevaluate how much we value spiritual growth, that we wouldn't write it off as some side effect of Christianity, but we would really be asking ourselves, how does this life event grow me towards Jesus? And what am I getting out of this in regards to becoming more like Jesus?
Yeah, I love that. Let's look for the ways that God is working for our good through the things that are going on, because he promises he's doing it. So let's have eyes to see it. That's awesome. Ethan, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there you go. Predestination in 5 minutes there at the end. I'm sure that solved all of your questions about it. Okay, not really. That's an awesome topic. We'll dive into it at some point in the future. But I hope that it at least cleared up a little bit about what's going on in verse 29. And we're going to talk more about it this Sunday as we preach on this text. I hope you'll join us for worship at all three services on campus and our live stream at 9:30. Can't wait to see you then. Until we get there, let's keep following Jesus together.